everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't forget, this Thursday, we're going to be at the Commerce Casino for the big Tim Conway Jr. No Limit Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament. I know it's a mouthful, but it's always a great night. So come on down. You're going to be notified via. What is it, Gina? Via?
I say via.
Via email?
Yeah.
And you're going to get an email, I think, tomorrow or Wednesday. I know it's late notice, but it's a free tournament, so don't bust my balls. And if you get in the tournament, come on down Thursday, and you'll be eligible to win a piece of the $6,000 prize pool. And who couldn't use money in this crappy economy? So come on down. Even if you don't get selected, come on down. There's going to be a lot of entertainment down there. You can watch people play. And you didn't hear this from me, but if there's an extra seat or two, maybe I can get you in. But you didn't hear that from me. There's no guarantees. So don't come down there and, you know, bust my chops that, you know, he said, well, Conway said we could get in. I didn't say you can get in. I said you can come on down and enjoy yourself, and I might be able to get you a seat. All right, folks, we have Dr. Reif with us. Always nice to see you. Doctor, how you been, man?
Yeah, I've been good. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dr. Reif, you heard him on the station before. He is an addiction, I guess a psychiatrist dealing with addiction problems, is that correct?
So I'm a board-certified psychiatrist.
Wow, board-certified.
Yeah, I know, right?
What is the other type of psychiatrist?
Not board-certified. That's the other
That's
type.
All you need to know.
Yeah, okay. And then a board-certified addiction, addictionologist is what it's called, addiction specialist.
All right, addictionologist, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right, so you can help people out with a whole host of problems.
Yeah, anything from dating, relationships, drugs, sex, gambling.
Good for you.
Vegas.
Now, do you have a medical background as well?
Yeah, I'm a medical doctor.
Okay.
Delivered babies, did a little surgery.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right, I got one question for you.
Uh-oh.
And this is a medical question. I've not asked my doctor yet. So I'm asking you here. About a month ago, I got a sharp shooting headache pain right above my left eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. It was only there for about 20 minutes. But now every time I take my finger and I rub it over my left eyebrow, I get a sharp shooting pain again in my head.
Ooh.
Is that a mini stroke? Is that a TIA?
No. How do you know about a TIA?
Nah, I've been around the block.
Do you know what it stands for?
No.
It's a transient ischemic attack, which is like a mini stroke.
Right.
No, that's not a mini stroke. No.
Okay.
Do you like lose all sensation on the left side of your body at some point?
No,
No. But you know what is interesting is we have facial nerves.
When I sit on the toilet though long enough, my legs fall asleep.
Oh.
Oh, that's nice.
Is that a stroke?
No, that's not a stroke either. How long do you stay on the toilet? Is this like something you want to talk about?
Well, if I fall asleep, I'm there for a while.
There's this guy at work when I was young. I was working in this pharmaceutical company, and there was this guy that always used to go to the bathroom on his breaks. Instead of taking like a lunch break, he would go to the bathroom.
Wow.
And I swear to God, he must have just sat on the toilet for like his entire lunch break for like 45 minutes or an hour. Because you know how like when you fall asleep on the toilet, You have like lines on your face
right when
you get back. So this guy's hair's all over the place.
Man.
He's got lines and creases all over his face. So.
Oh, God.
He didn't live at home with his parents in Lakewood, did he?
No, you never know, right?
All right.
God damn it.
He's probably 23 now.
Welcome to Dr. Reif, everybody. A big welcome here. And we're going to do the news with Gina Gray. I like to do it about 9 o'clock. It's about 7 after 9 right now. So we're a little late, but we'll catch up here. News with Gina Gray, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom,
Gina Grad.
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
Because that's my fun day.
All right, Gino Grad,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
Did you watch the Golden Globes last night?
I did. I was at a little Golden Globes viewing party. And I was sulking
party the
whole time because I was missing 24.
Oh, wait, 24 was on the same time?
Yes.
Ooh, that's
I didn't know that.
And I was there with a lot of gay men. I'm like, you know I'm missing 24 for this. Ah, you're such a dude. Yeah. So,
All right.
Yeah.
By the way, do the gays enjoy it as much as the straights?
24?
No, the Golden Globes.
I'd say a little more.
A little more?
Fantastic. Just a hair more. Oh, boy, it's a photo finish, but I'm going to give it to the gays.
Okay. All right, what's going on with the news?
Well, the Golden Globes did kick off awards season last night on NBC. This contest, voted on by the Hollywood Foreign Press, may not have done great in the ratings last night, possibly because of the return of 24, but it was a star-studded event nonetheless. Among some of the winners were Slumdog Millionaire for Best Original Score and Best Screenplay, Tim's favorite movie of all time, WALL-E, for Best Animated Feature.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought about you. Heath Ledger for Best Supporting Role in the movie Dark Knight, and 30 Rock for Best Comedy, along with Tina Fey for Best Actress in a Comedy.
Perfect.
In our first clip, Tina Fey gives a memorable acceptance speech, which was geared toward all the people out there who are not fans of hers.
All right, Tina Fey, here we go.
Oh, my, thank you. I want to say thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press. I've always loved the Hollywood Foreign Press. As a kid, I had all the Hollywood Foreign Press action figures. thank you, Will Arnett, for that joke.
At least she gave that guy credit.
Yeah, that was great.
Will
Arnett? That's her best friend's husband, Amy Poehler's husband.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Will Arnett from
not familiar with the
Arrested
group.
Development fame.
Look at that. Yeah. Very funny guy.
But I want you to know that I really know how very lucky I am to have the year that I've had this year. And if you ever start to feel too good about yourself, they have this thing called the internet. And you can find a lot of people there who don't like you. And I'd like to address some of them now. Babs and LaCrosse, you can suck it. Diane fan, you can suck it. Cougar letter, you can really suck it, because it's all year, you've been after me, all year. And to my husband, Jeff, yeah, I love you, and thank you. Thank you very much.
Tina Fey, everybody.
Giving out those email handles.
There she goes.
And meanwhile, one actor kept the show from being virtually politics-free last night.
Uh-oh.
In this clip, actress Laura Dern thanks the Hollywood Foreign Press for her award and thanks everyone else for voting for Obama.
Yay. All right, Laura Dern, here we go.
Thank you so much. Thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press. Thank you to the brave and amazing...
By the way, when they say thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press, if you stop and go, hey, Laura, please, one second... can you just give us one name of the Hollywood Foreign Press? Anybody?
Anybody.
First or last name, we'll settle for either one. I bet they couldn't name one.
Yeah.
You know, the Hollywood Foreign Press. Oh, it's so pretentious.
Yeah.
Get up there and thank a body like that. I like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press. That's the only time they ever talk about the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Well, why else would they?
And where are they if they're foreigners?
Well, from what I hear, as opposed to the, you know...
I think that actress was very good.
That's why Slumdog won.
I love that movie, by the way.
My favorite movie of, like, all time.
I
hear that the Oscars, you know, it's a ton of people voting for the Oscars and the SAG Awards. The Hollywood Foreign Press apparently is like 60 people.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a very small group of people.
Hollywood Foreign Press.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anytime you get up there and roll that off.
Sounds very global.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much. Thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press. Thank you to the brave and amazing HBO. Thank you to the beloved Sidney Pollack, to Paula Weinstein, to Lynn Amato. I'd like to say a special thanks to my acting inspirations, my parents, Diane Ladd and Bruce Dern.
I don't think I have radio inspirations.
No?
Maybe that's why I'm on at night. I don't think I do.
You should
radio
get one.
Inspirations.
Nobody?
It's not too late. You can find somebody.
John and Ken?
What about Savage? I mean, I don't know him. I mean, these are, you know, like she thanked her parents as her acting inspirations. Yeah. Or something. I don't know.
Or Howard.
Yeah, like Howard Stern, but I've never even met the guy. Never met Howard Stern.
Imus?
Or Mike Savage. I've never met Imus either.
Rick Dees?
Yeah, met Rick Dees. I had dinner with Rick Dees.
There it is.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
We're done.
I love that guy. All right. I'll make it Rick Dees.
My teacher, Sandra Seacat, Peter Levine, Jason Weinberg, Annette, Kara, and my beautiful family, my husband, Ben, and our children. And I will cherish this as a reminder of...
Wait, hold on one second.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
Husband, Ben, and our children...
She names everybody else, but the kids can't get a shout-out?
Jesus Christ.
They just have to be my children?
The children are in the same category as the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Jesus Christ.
You can't lay a name? I mean, these kids, how often is Laura Dern going to be up there winning a huge award?
Not too often.
No?
No.
I don't even want you to.
If I were the kids, I'd be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be mad. I wouldn't talk to her for a week.
Yeah, and I understand if it's like my dad, we got six kids, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, blah, can blah. You name one movie that Laura Dern was in?
Yeah. She was in...
Didn't she cry in some movie?
Heartbreak Kid.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Was she?
Yeah, and she was also...
I didn't know that movie. Or not.
That is a real movie. It's a 1983 movie. She was in Ramblin' Rose. That's all I can think of. She guessed it on West Wing one time.
I bet she's okay. I mean, yeah. I don't know. But please, you know, the kids, let's give them a shout out. All right, folks, we're going to get right back to this. But first, Randy's going to see if we can get the Channel 9 audio here. We got ourselves a high-speed pursuit, man. It's on the northbound. Let me see. It's on the 118 freeway. Is that correct? Or is it on the 210 now? Randy's going to flip on Channel 9, so turn your TVs on. This is a live show. It's about 9:15 here. And it's one of the very few shows that will stop everything to talk about a high-speed pursuit. And from what I hear, the mayor doesn't like us to do this, the police chief doesn't like us to do this, and the head of the highway patrol doesn't like us to do it either. But we say, screw it. We're going to do it because we could possibly save a life. If I'm on the freeway, I want to know that some a-hole doing 110 is behind me.
You know what I like about this guy? He's using his signal.
Yeah, he's a skilled driver.
What's up with that?
And he doesn't have like a fast car either.
No. And there's looks like there's only one cop car behind him now.
At that point, don't you just pull over? That's what I don't understand. He's right behind you.
Oh, bubble.
You're not going to make it to TJ.
Well, you know, I think this is a real, I'd love to be involved here. I think this is a real adrenaline rush for a guy to be on TV, to being chased by the cops, the old cops and robbers. Let's tune in, let's turn on Channel 9's audio here and see exactly where this guy is.
Yeah, it looks like he's driving very dangerously. As Derek showed us, he would signal left and then actually go to the right, signal right and go to the left.
Maybe he's
passing
dyslexic.
Cars at these extremely high speeds. Looks like he's on the left side in the number one lane of the freeway right now. It looks like he might be getting off at an off-ramp. Derek, are you with us?
Yes, he's weaving back and forth between all lanes of traffic here on the 210 freeway as it comes through the Sylmar area, actually just east of San Fernando. He's got about three lanes of traffic that he can maneuver through. He is staying on the lanes of traffic right now. He is in the right lane. He can get off here, but of course, as he passes that off-ramp, he continues to stay on. We were hearing that a CHP aircraft has been dispatched to the scene. He is just a couple minutes out. We're keeping an ear out for him. As the 210 freeway, this pursuit on the 210 freeway approaches the 118. So he's coming back into the Pacoima area. He can stay on the 210, of course, continue on eastbound towards the Crescenta Valley, or he can opt to go back to the west on the 118 freeway. That would bring him back to right about where we saw him first get picked up. Oof. So we're going to see what he's going to do here. Still holding about 100 miles an hour, perhaps 90 right about now.
Nice.
He's got some traffic up ahead. He is really good traffic. Is behind
it's like
him
a Volkswagen,
right now,
doesn't it?
And
it looks
as
like
he goes further towards the Crescenta Valley or
is
back
like
into the San
bug?
Fernando Valley proper,
looks like a bug.
He
looks
is going to be hitting a lot more traffic. So we're going to see what he's going to do first.
German engineer.
As he gets to within a
I've never seen a Volkswagen bug in a high speed pursuit.
Looks like he's holding on to
look at the other guy passing him. There's another
guy passing him. Maybe that guy's being wanted.
He's trying to do.
How about that? You're in a high speed pursuit. A guy passing
him.
It's on the 210 freeway. Looks like he's going to stay on the 210 east.
I don't know why. We're listening also for that CHP aircraft. He is due into the area here in just a moment. We haven't figured out exactly what kind of car this person is driving. It could be a smart car. It looks really small.
Oh,
but
smart car.
There's no way a smart car goes over 40.
Totally.
That's what we were going to ask you, Derek. It
well,
that like
for an
really
oxymoron.
I think you're right. We've been thinking
it was. If it was a smart car, didn't
dumb
realize
guy in
it had
a smart
that much
car.
Power.
I think it is a smart car.
How can it go that fast without falling apart?
They're very well built cars.
Yeah, they really charged it up before he took off.
I'm sorry, there's a lot of people that are now going to want to buy smart cars because they realize how fast they go.
Look at that. The cops can't even catch him.
Really backed off.
But boy,
now,
if he hits
really
somebody,
well
he's over.
Just
game
gonna,
over.
Kinda let
it looks like he's on the
go.
210 eastbound coming up on the 118. And if he passes the 118, he'll go up through the hills there into the Locker Center area.
There are no CHP officers directly behind him. Of course, there are a couple well behind him right now just keeping an eye on him.
Those
so we're
going to
see what they do now.
It looks like he's running into more traffic there.
Yes, he's definitely getting into more traffic, and he will continue to do that as he continues on the 210 freeway as it gets into the La Crescenta Valley. So we're going to try and stay with this guy. And the CHP, again, has shut down their lights and sirens. And they are shadowing this person
it's
just
totally
as much as they can.
Car.
Hopefully this person is going to try and
maybe
slow down.
I think it is.
And perhaps
it is.
Drive a little bit more safely.
I wonder if they've gotten some other information about him that caused them to suddenly back off. I mean, I know he was doing some erratic moves there. he's calmed down a little bit and he doesn't have his signal on anymore. But would that alone have been enough of a reason for them to just lay back and stay away for a while?
It's unknown. They are really... In these cases, they try and do everything.
You know, we've done this before on the station. But if the guy in the car is listening to this station, please turn on your hazard lights. And it happened once when Malibu Dan said, "Hey, buddy, turn off your headlights if you listen to the station." And a minute later, a guy turns his headlights on.
Yeah, just tell him to give a little blink, a little on and off blink.
Yeah, turn your hazards on if you listen to the station. We just want to get a feel of, because this is the home of the lunatics.
And listen, I can help this guy. You know, we got some counseling, psychiatry work here.
Could you help him out right now while he's in the car?
Gets on the phone.
All right, if you're in that car, you're in that smart car, you're a dumb guy in the smart car, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710.
Hope he has that hands-free.
All right, they're
going to
take a break, so we're going to take a break and come back with a high-speed pursuit. Also, Gina Grad doing the news. Dr. Reef is with us. He is an addictionologist. Look at that for that title. And you're listening to the Tim Conway Jr. Show, High Speed Pursuit on Channel 9, and we're live on 97.1 FM Talk.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, says I need you here. And it's a 4:30 and I'm shifting gear.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Dr. Reef is with us.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, he is an addictionologist and a board-certified psychiatrist. So he's more educated than almost every kid will ever be who is currently going to the LAUSD. And then Gina Grad, another college graduate, is sitting with us doing the news. But we were watching Channel 9 live as this high-speed pursuit continues eastbound on the 210.
What this driver is wanted for.
Channel 9.
And as we said, it looks like some sort of subcompact car, very, very small car, but still going very fast. Speeds up to 100 miles an hour when this all started on the 5 northbound near 118. That's where Derek picked him up in the Sylmar area. And you can see this guy is just flying down the freeway.
Wow.
One of the good things is that the 210 is not one of the busier freeways in the Southland.
Certainly not right now, and everyone has to be thankful for that. We are going to take a quick break.
Oh,
we want to remind
you. Must be, what is Channel 9 part of CBS? Oh, there.
I like the last car chase where he had nowhere to go but onto the pier of Long Beach, like J through L, Q through Y. Stops right at the end, right before the ocean.
All right, let's do some more news here with Gina Grad. Oh, we were listening to Laura Dern, I believe.
Yeah,
is that right?
Let's finish that.
All right, here's Laura Dern.
And I will cherish this as a reminder of the extraordinary, incredible outpouring of people who demanded their voice be heard in this last election so we can look forward to amazing change in this country. Thank you so much.
All right, there you go.
Like, I feel her, but I was really excited that we all had moved past that for this show.
You know what I missed last night? Just a little, and maybe it was just me. But all these millionaires who are wearing these jewels and the dresses and the limos and everything, never talked about the guy at home maybe just lost his job, you know?
No, it didn't come up.
There was like, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to sort of dress it down this year because I know the economy is in the toilet. Worst recession since the Great Depression, so I'm not going to put on, 7 pounds of diamonds for this one.
Well, remember, they had to make up for last year when it was just a press conference.
Oh, yes.
Of the strike. So they said, no. I'm borrowing that that brooch this year. I'm not toning it down for anybody.
All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, Guardian.com reported today that some California teachers received quite the welcome back gift when they returned from winter break this year. Teachers returned to find a bathroom and a box kit on their desk, complete with toilet paper and all the accessories marked for lockdown only. Staff members assembled the kits to use during long-term lockdowns, like the 4 hours students spent in their classrooms last fall when fights broke out all over campus. The emergency lavatory comes equipped with a plastic seat, steadied by steel legs, and a plastic bag in lieu of a toilet bowl. Oh, like Sophie's.
You know. Nice.
All right. So if ninth grade wasn't hard enough, now you got to take a crap in front of the class.
Yeah.
They said the consensus with
show
the kids is, I'll hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
Show and tell, man.
Well, apparently during the last 4-hour lockdown, the kids had to pee in trash cans in the classroom. So they tried to help them out a little this year.
It's fun.
Now, don't fix the crime. Just give them a bathroom and a box.
A lot of big fights going on, too.
Yeah.
There was a big fight at the Torrance Mall. Like 500 kids are involved.
Yeah, what sparked that?
I don't know. It was at the movie theaters. Always happens at the movie theaters. That's why I don't go anymore. And you saw
like Benjamin Button.
I saw about 50 people get maced on La Brea right across from Amalfi.
Who's doing the macing?
The cops.
Yeah.
Just a... they all came pouring out of this club, so I guess it started in the club and poured out into the street, and just chemicals all through the air to break it up.
What club is over there?
I don't know. I don't think it was a real club. I think it was like a gallery that was having a party.
Oh.
So it was an art gallery exhibit?
Good idea.
Somebody you're not
crazy.
Chagall.
You're crazy those guys get.
All right, Dr. Rivas with us. Also, Gina Grad doing the news. What else is going on there, Gina?
Well, George W. Bush gave his final press conference as sitting president today. He started off his appearance thanking the American public for putting him in this role. And in this clip, Bush answers a question concerning how he could have handled the Katrina disaster differently.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Katrina.
I thought long and hard about Katrina. You know, could I have done something differently? Like land Air Force One, either New Orleans or Baton Rouge? The problem with that is that law enforcement would have been pulled away from the mission. And then your questions, I suspect, would have been, how could you possibly have flown Air Force One into Baton Rouge and police officers that were needed to expedite traffic out of New Orleans were taken off the task to look after you?
Mm. I have no idea what she's saying.
I don't think he still gets it when it comes to Katrina.
Yeah.
Or a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, but I'm going to miss that guy, dude.
Oh,
I really am. And the first time that a terrorist attacks this country, they're going to be placing a call to GW down in Texas.
Yeah.
What do we do here, man?
What do we do?
Yeah, what do we do? You kept us safe for 7 years. Let's have the secrets here, dude. All right, what else going on there, Gina?
Well, just a quick breaking news about this pursuit. Apparently, they have stopped following him.
Oh,
the smart car wins.
You gotta get yourself a smart car. All right, we'll have the conclusion of this chase. Right now, Jackie Johnson's talking about the red flag warning, which means there's going to be high winds and temperatures up in the, maybe in the 90s for a little while. And this, again, why people live in Southern California. The weather from yesterday and today and all this week, when they're up to, there's 6 feet of snow up in Washington State or in Minnesota.
85.
Yeah. We're sitting here. I walked out to get the mail today with no shirt on.
Oh.
Felt like a total a-hole, but
it was hot.
Got the mail.
Too hot.
All right, Dr. Reef is with us. Also, Gina Grad doing the news. What else going on there, Gina?
Well, there was a small scare on 97.1's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show on Friday.
What happened?
Well, Frosty blacked out in the middle of their popular segment, Who's Going to Hell?
No.
Yes. Frosty, who had consumed a cocktail of various over-the-counter medications and whiey and beer.
That would concentrate my hamburger.
And hamburger before the fainting spell left Heidi and Frank incredibly concerned. And we have that clip.
Wait, he had pills and whiskey?
He had taken his Lipitor, his blood pressure. He took his over-the-counter NyQuil, and he says he swigs it right from the bottle, so he has no measuring device whatsoever.
Do
you?
Yeah.
And then they do their Friday drinking show, so...
Oh, boy.
You know,
I hope he's all right, man.
As a doctor, I don't suggest you do that any further. So.
Just to take it from the bottle?
Just a side note. Yeah.
Listen, doctor, I'm 45. And I've been sipping beer and alcohol since I was about 8 or 9. My grandfather turned me on to Stroh's in Cleveland. I can get you a fluid perfect ounce. I can put a bottle in my mouth, take a swig, and I can guarantee you one perfect fluid ounce if I spit it out into a shot glass. That's how efficient
I'd like
I am.
To see that.
I smell a commerce bit.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. You know, I had a patient who I prescribed him. I tried not to give too many meds, but he had like Lipitor and he had an antihypertensive and a couple others. He had like five meds, and instead of actually taking them, he played almost like roulette with his pills, and he put them all into one big bottle, and he would shake them up.
Why?
And then he would take a swig of some whiskey, Jack, something, and he would just pop a pill or pop a couple of pills, whatever he had in his bottle, and that's what he would take every time.
Jesus Christ. And did he pass out at all?
Wait, he said it's great because some days, you know, my cholesterol was better. Some days I wasn't anxious. I never knew what was going to happen.
Wow. What pills were those?
Yeah.
And to
exactly
think he could have had it all had he just put them in a pill case.
Yeah, I don't suggest that either, just for your, you know, callers.
But a pill case you recommend.
Pill cases are nice as long as you take the pills you're supposed to take.
Right.
All right. Here is Frosty passing out.
Don't eat me.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did my daughter say?
Frosty, don't eat me.
Frosty, don't eat me?
Yeah.
He's eating kids?
I want to go and concentrate on my hamburger.
He eats whatever's in his way.
All right, here we go. Frosty, passing out, man.
And neighbors noticed the unexplained injuries and noted the child appeared underfed.
What? Underfed?
Neighbors?
You mean underfed?
Underfed. Oh, underfed.
Underfed.
Oh, my God. What a douche.
Well,
he can't even possibly
recognize the word.
Recognize the word. Relate.
Underfed has never been part of Frosty's vocabulary. Oh my God, did he just fall off the chair? Is he all right?
I don't know.
No, seriously. Are you okay?
Yes.
Come on, Shatner, get up. You can't be looking like you do and then just fake passing out on the floor.
I think he really passed out, Frank.
Did you really pass out?
No, I was fine.
Look at Krista's face. Krista stood up. She's like, oh my God, Frosty's dead.
It's my esteemed acting skills.
You do have a good death scene, though.
You like that?
Yeah.
Do we have it on video?
Yeah, too bad there wasn't a webcast because people would have thought you really died. Because look at Krista. Krista turned white.
Yes, she did.
I never told her she looked pale before until today.
Wow. Oh, good Lord. Underfed, for the love of God.
Underfed. That's classic.
Yeah.
Hope he's all right.
So he was so confused, apparently, that he said, no, I'm fine. But he lost about a good 20 seconds.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He had no idea.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, Frosty.
Well, it's a tough business, man, you know?
There's your TIA sitting there.
Right? Gotta play hurt. All right, what else going on in the news?
Well, finally, tonight, we have a quick follow-up on the DUI charge of basketball legend Charles Barkley. Mm-hmm. Barkley, who was cited on suspicion of a DUI in Arizona and then released last week, claimed that he needed to blow through a stop sign so he could race around the corner for an oral encounter. In this clip, a member of the Gilbert, Arizona Police Force gives Barkley this classic field sobriety test.
All right, here we go. Barkley, man.
When I tell you to begin, you're going to take 9 heel to toe steps down the line, and you're going to turn and take 9 back. So, not yet. It's when I tell you to begin, okay?
All right, go ahead.
So it's just going to look like this. 1, yeah. 2, yeah. 3, all the way to 9. Yeah. When you get to that 9th step, keep your foot planted, take some small steps and turn. And take 9 back. Not yet. 1, 2, 3, all the way to 9.
Are you trying to arrest me?
Trying to arrest
you? Yeah, I'm asking you.
No. All right. I'll conduct an investigation.
God.
He gives up after 3 steps. Are you just? You want to just arrest me? Because his next 6 steps ain't going to happen.
Jesus Christ.
Later, they wanted to give him a breathalyzer, and he refused.
Yeah, he refused it.
He knows about the voodoo science.
Yeah. You refuse, you get your license taken from you? Is that right?
Yeah. It depends on the state. Oh, it depends what state you're in. But, you know, when they do the field sobriety test, they're checking for ataxic gait, which basically means when you drink, it can affect an area of your brain called the cerebellum. And the cerebellum controls kind of, you know, voluntary and involuntary movements, breathing, respiration, all that kind of stuff. So when you drink a lot and it hits that part of the brain, you can't walk right. So they have you do, like, they do the nystagmus test where they look at your eyes, look for the beats of your eyes. They make you walk straight. They make you do, like, agile dexterity movements with, you know, the over-under with the hands and things like that to assess your ability for that part of your brain to process things. If you happen to have a neurologic problem, you're not going to process it anyway, right? So it kind of depends on, you know, what your history, what your medical history is.
I heard that if you, and I don't know this firsthand because I've never had the, well, that's not true. I had a breathalyzer once. But if you breathe in as much air as possible and then you blow out as slowly as possible, they'll tell you, you know, faster, 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 but don't listen to them. That's the key to passing one of those deals. Is that right?
I don't think that's the key. I think that, you know, there's a chance.
Well, the key is not drinking.
Is that because you're oxygenating yourself, or what is that about?
You know, a lot of it comes down to the sensitivity of the breathalyzer.
Right.
If the police use really cheap, yeah, it's like anything. If I do a blood test on a patient and I use a one that's not very sensitive at all, they might be able to get by if they didn't use a lot of whatever they're using, if they're smoking pot, if they're doing whatever. But if I use a good test, I'll bust them. So it comes down to the same thing with the police. You know, if they use something that's pretty sensitive, they're going to nail you.
I've also heard that if you suck on a penny, something about the copper. Yeah, is that true?
I don't know about that.
Uh-huh.
All right,
everybody's looking for the
case. All right, Gina Grad, what's going on with that news?
That's what's going on.
That's it.
That's it.
All right, Gina Grad in the news, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
It's just another manic Monday, Tim.
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll fill it with words.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. I'm sorry, and come back with Dr. Reef. Also, Gina Grad's going to stay with us here. If you are completely effed up, you need a helping hand. Perhaps you're addicted to medication, weed, booze, sex. I don't know what's going on out there. Sports. Maybe you're stalking somebody. That's also craziness,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of stalking, you know, there's an actress, and I'll give you her name when we come back, that just filed for a restraining order because the guy that was stalking her moved from Colorado to Los Angeles. And is just wanted to be with her, you know?
Wow.
It's pretty hot.
Love.
Love. One-way love. It's always great.
One-way love.
Best kind.
All right. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Gina Grad is with us. And also Dr. Reef, who is an addictionologist. Look at that. And we're live on 97.1
FM. You love that word.
Love that.
Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Gina Grad is with us, and also Dr. Reef. Nice to see you, man.
Hey, good to be here.
An addictionologist, a board-certified psychiatrist, and here to take to whack all of you when it comes to your problems. So if you're addicted to something...
that's me. Yeah.
Drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Drugs, sex, and relationships.
Relationships.
Right? All right, 520-9710 and 888-520-97. Randy, please, let me just give out the number and then I'll ask him. 888-520-9710. God almighty, he's going to be here for another hour, dude.
Well, come on.
He's yelling in my ear.
Thank you, Dad.
I will, sweetheart. Please, Randy. If a guy is giving another guy a massage and he gets an erection, does that mean he's gay?
Is this personal encounters, Randy? Maybe?
I think it moved.
M seeking M.
See, I think it depends on who gets the erection. Is it the guy giving the massage or the guy getting the massage?
That's a fair point.
Well, no, it's a major point, right?
That's the twist in the story. I was giving the guy the massage.
Oh,
and you got the erection.
Gay.
All right, it's done.
Gay.
Yeah. Let's move on.
It's a red flag.
Great question, Reef. Great question.
Yeah, that is a great question. All right. Now, also, before we get into some of these calls, I've also heard, I've not done this firsthand, I don't recommend anyone do this, so it sounds like it could be dangerous. But if you, instead of drinking booze, right, or pills or cocaine, if you throw it the tuchus, is that high, exaggerated, and does it come faster?
It goes right to the bloodstream, right?
See, if you put it right in?
Right.
Wow.
I mean, if you take like a douchebag and fill it with your favorite vodka, let's say a Grey Goose.
So you're going rectal.
You give yourself the ultimate goose. You
give yourself the goose. Well, you know, I don't get asked that question very often, Tim.
Thank you very much.
But when you there are a lot of capillaries in your rectum,
right?
And you know your anal
cavity.
Right. Sure. So what ends up happening is when you put in something rectally, it does cross mucous membrane. It gets into your bloodstream pretty quickly.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you could. I mean, it's not the same as like. Given an IV of booze,
right.
but the alcohol...
But that pesky stomach acid doesn't get in the way.
But also, aren't you the least popular guy at the bar if you're drinking that way?
Well, you know, if you're at the bar and suddenly you bend over and, you know, you go in from the back side,
right.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to be, you know, the life of the party. Wait, maybe. You know, it depends what kind of party it is.
All right, now I got another question for you.
By the way, I don't recommend doing that.
That's why I started it.
I'm here to tell you what's up, but, you know, I don't necessarily prescribe this.
Because I heard if you did cocaine that way, that the high is unbelievable, you know?
If you do cocaine through your rectum.
Right.
So how?
You don't get the throat drip.
No. Yeah, of course, you won't get any of that, but I'm asking, like,
are you injecting?
Are you inserting?
All I heard is that if you did cocaine through your tuchus, that you really enjoy that high.
I'm just curious how this conversation started. Like, were you just one day at the supermarket, talking to your friend?
No, I've always said that if I ever won the lottery and I won like $200 million, I would be the death of me because I'd have some suite at a huge Vegas hotel and doing cocaine from every orifice of my body. And my friend said, even your tuchus? I said, yeah.
Especially.
Just pushing it all in. Now, I'd be alive for about 10 minutes.
Danny Bonaducci has talked about on his show that he has... taken a morphine suppository and used that a couple times.
I think we entertain.
It was very entertaining, and I think he said this particular time he did it and went to somebody's funeral.
Is that right?
That's interesting.
No, it was the funeral of the cancer patient that he stole the morphine suppositories from.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, the reality is a lot of patients I've seen, a lot of drug addicts, a lot of people who have been to rehab, they've stuffed drugs in their rectum, you know, whether to hide it or to use it.
It happens.
So, you know, at some point in time, when you go through rehabilitation, you don't want to be doing that anymore.
Right? All right, I got another quick question for you, then we'll get to some of these calls. If, like, you're on an airplane and you're flying cross country, and you got, like, a nervous stomach anyway because, you know, you're not so great when you're flying, and you got a fart, right? Let's say you hold it in for 3 hours. Are there any sort of side effects? Is that good for you? Is it bad for you? And what happens to that fart?
So let me clarify here. So basically you're asking, if you hold a fart in for 3 hours.
Right.
Will that have some kind of dire consequences
to your
physiology?
Does it bloat your stomach?
I don't know about bloating, but a lot of people will complain about abdominal discomfort, cramping. Okay, you can look at it this way. Is flatulence, because I'm going to go in, you know, a little more anatomically. Is that a natural phenomenon that should just happen and people should just get used to that? Or is it something that's, you know, you should hold in and deal with the consequences of it? Because, yeah, there are. I mean, some people will get, you know, mildly bloated.
Yeah, that's why I don't, you know, that's why I don't take nonstops in New York.
You just go.
I want to have like 3 or 4 stops so I can enjoy myself.
All right,
myself.
So let me ask you a question then. So if you want to avoid any kind of discomfort from your GI tract and you have flatulence working its way and you know it's coming, do you just do your thing, or do you take in social norms?
Well, I take a page out of George Carlin's book when it comes to this. I let about 10-15% out to see how my neighbors are going to handle it. And if
it's just a courtesy kind of thing. Yeah.
And if they're cool with it, then the other 85% gets launched.
You know, there's lavatories.
She makes a good point there, right?
But who goes to the lavatory to fart? But
maybe you should start.
But here's the thing. We're also taking into consideration the fact that you have full control over...
I have total control.
Everybody has full control.
With farting? Oh, I'm the best, man. I mean, I could literally sit here for a week and not fart.
Wow.
And then, we could have Mount...
St. Helens?
Yeah, Mount St. Helens. No, but I'm pretty good with that. I imagine most people are.
Well, you know, they come in different varieties, right? So, some are going to be more of the silent, deadly. Yes. Some are more of the.
And you can also, I also get a feel for how I'm doing physically, you know, when you fart, you know? And I think that's a good, you know, it's a telltale sign. And I think a lot of people, you know, I know you're thinking to myself, I'm the only guy that ever talks about this. Well, F you. I know a guy driving down the, when a guy's driving down the freeway and he farts, because the windows go up and you sort of like want to, you know, you want to sit in it for a while.
No.
Guys do that.
I'm getting like thick throat right now.
Well, it's interesting when you're proud of it. Right? That does happen.
Guys want to sit in there and, you know, enjoy that for a second or two.
Yeah.
Then you open the windows and, you know, everybody else gets to enjoy it.
I had somebody who was really, really stoned ask me one time, because I don't know how this could be anything but a stoner thought. Hey, Gina, have you ever noticed, is it weird sometimes if you fart and it smells good or not so much good as familiar?
Familiar.
Like, what? Actually, wasn't Randy talking about that too one time, speaking of stoner thoughts?
Randy, please. There it is. You always have to take it down to that level. All right, let's talk to a Sarah in Riverside. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Are you okay,
Gina? I'm green.
Jesus.
What a great segue, because addiction is definitely, I'm addicted to fast food. Oh. And I recently quit smoking right after the election. I had a cigarette after I voted, and I haven't had a cigarette. I was smoking for 10 years. I'm 25, total typical teenage smoker. And I totally quit that cold turkey, and I haven't had a cigarette at all since. So I'm really proud of that. I never thought I would ever, like, quit. So how is it that cutting out the junk food has been so much harder than quitting smoking?
Sarah,
good question.
Dr. Reef here. Smoking is cigarettes are an appetite suppressant, so it's going to kind of hold you back from binge eating.
Are they also a diuretic?
Is it a diuretic? You mean as far as, are you going back to the...
No, but I mean, I thought about smoking, like nicotine.
It keeps you
I mean, it well, you know, not...
Like caffeine.
It's mildly, if anything, it's not a significant diuretic.
Oh, good.
So
I'm gonna start smoking again.
You gonna start? Yeah. See, I know you were angling towards something.
Oh,
I'm like, what is he angling towards?
I'm still looking for a doctor that says I don't smoke enough. And man, are you guys tough to find?
Yeah, we're tough. There's actually a guy in Hollywood by Vine.
Really?
No.
And he'll tell you that? Yeah, I gotta get to that.
I'm sure there's a guy. Look, there's a lot of Dr. Feelgoods out there. They make my business much harder.
Just FYI, I have a really good friend who has prescription tobacco because the doctors encourage her to smoke because she has some disease where her white blood cells, she has too many white blood cells, and apparently smoking kills white blood cells. Does that make sense? So she has tobacco, like relatively clean tobacco that she smokes to keep her white blood cell
count. And the doctor prescribes it?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll just go to 7-Eleven.
Okay.
All right, so what do you think about this, chick?
So, Sarah, just real quick, are you binge eating fast food? Is that what this is about?
No, I pretty much just have it every day. And I stopped, like, for yesterday and today. Like, I bought Lean Cuisine because I'm, like, so hungry all the time.
How big are you?
I'm not that big. That's the thing, is that, like,
how tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
What do you weigh?
I'm 165.
That's a huge bitch!
40. Oh, no. I'm, like, evenly distributed. So when I kept eating, I didn't even notice that I got this big.
But
like, I'm not even big. I'm, like, a size 10.
But Dr. Reef, isn't it one of those things where smoking makes you happy? Oh, I'm not smoking anymore. Food makes you happy. Like, high-fat food and, you know, comfort food.
All right, please. Sarah.
Like, psychological.
Hold on 1 second. I don't mean to digress here, but you know fashion, Gina. Is a 10 a big dress size? I think it is.
I will tell you, it is becoming a standard dress size in America.
Really?
Yes.
So that's not Lane Bryant yet?
No, not anymore.
Where's Lane Bryant?
And now there's vanity sizing. So you were a 12, but now all of a sudden you're an 8 at Nordstrom's.
What is Lane Bryant started?
Lane Bryant's, no, like 16.
16?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I saw this woman the other day. I went to on Sunday to the Wild Animal Park in San Diego, and she had one of those fat carts.
Oh.
And she was wearing, it was about 90 degrees there. She was wearing all black, and she's sweating her ass off, and she must have weighed about like 300 pounds. And can you imagine the torture that she is laying on those lions? They see this woman walking through there on a cart. They know they're faster than that cart, and they got 400 pounds of meat sitting right there.
Yeah.
And they got to just stare at her and wait for the, 4 o'clock to come around and get a chicken bone.
Yeah.
So this is what you were thinking while you were there.
But isn't that torture for the animals, especially the animals that are predators like that, with the cheetahs, the lions, the tigers, to see all these human beings that they would love to just eat?
Well, they become socialized, right? Like the game park animals. Like I was in Africa. I went to Masai Mara and Amboseli, some of the game parks there.
Right.
And they're kind of in between, right? They're the animals. They've been socialized not to attack the people looking at them.
Right.
But they're still kind of roaming about, you know, and there's still some predatorial vibes with other animals. So it's almost like they're taught not to attack the humans, but they can still kind of do what they got to do otherwise. So
I got a lot of looks. We were feeding the birds I think it was the parakeets or something. And they give you a little, for $3, they give you a cup of nectar, and you hold the cup of nectar and they land on your arm. They eat the crap. And my daughter was holding one and a bird landed on her. And in front of 30 kids and 40 adults, she goes, "Daddy, that effing bird just landed on me."
Jesus Christ.
Used the whole F word.
Wow.
So we moved on.
She takes after her daddy there.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes. Belted out the big F word right there in the wild animal park.
Wow.
And I said to her, I said, "Hey, don't use that term friggin'." She goes, "I didn't. I said effing." Baby, please.
That's funny.
Yeah, use that in the car. All right, Sarah, I don't know. What do you recommend?
So here's what I recommend.
What she should do. Go back to smoking?
No. That's your answer for everything.
I don't know. I mean, listen, she's got a big problem.
So, appetite suppressant, probably from the smoking. She probably then derived some, whether it's anxiety or, as Gina was saying, there was something going on with the smoking that was really helping her. She lost that to get over the smoking. She developed either emotional eating or some kind of binge eating habits. It's very easy to go to fast food if you're lazy, whatever. So she needs to find a way to get the caloric intake she needs, drink a lot of water. She did the lean cuisine thing. She just needs to change her regimen.
Right.
Her diet and her lifestyle, and she should be okay. But what she's doing is she's taking the easy way out. The thing about fast food is it's easy. It's so easy.
It's so great, too. Well, I love the taste of fast food.
I was going to ask her if she goes to Jack in the Box. Because
yeah. Hey, Sarah, what's your favorite joint?
Taco Bell, baby.
Yeah.
Randy's doing cardio.
By the way, Taco Bell, if you want to lose some weight, they have a new Fresco menu. And if you get crunchy Fresco tacos, it's taco meat and this great salsa. It's healthy, 8 grams of fat or less, and it tastes better than a regular Taco Bell taco.
Randy does something great that when he gets all stoned and he gets crazy, he'll call you up and he goes, "Dude, I just went to the Mexican phone company." I'm like, "Oh, great, you went to Taco Bell again." But he gets too high at night, and he's got to stop with the fast food as well. Because, they sell, Jack in the Box now sells the cheese sandwich, or the grilled cheese sandwich.
I love the grilled cheese sandwich.
I got to try that.
99 cents. It looks great. Yeah. But how many have you had? What's the record in one day?
Well, let's see. In a 24-hour period, when I first found out that they came out, I had one on the way to this show, one on the way home, two on the way to the Corolla show the next morning, and two on the way home from that.
Eat along.
You know, in like medical journals, we have case reports, and we take like one patient and kind of put in their history, and they kind of try to figure them out by the end of it, and it's called this case. I think Randy would be an incredible case report.
Subject R.
Yes.
Thank you.
23-year-old white male with fast food addiction. And
but you know what? At least you're enjoying it, right?
Marijuana dependent.
Hey, I'm happy every time I eat the fast food. I don't even have regrets anymore, even if I eat like $10 worth of food.
Yeah, I love fast food.
Hey, Randy, real quick, if you had to give up one thing, either fast food or pot, which would it be?
I think I'd kill myself.
Yeah, I think you would too. But this is how committed Randy is to fast food, and I gotta honor this man right now and hope he gets an award for this. But he had a bad vibe. He bought a chicken bowl from Jack in the Box. He says it just wasn't that great. It was a little dry and he didn't like the taste of it. So I didn't take his word for it. I went out and bought my own chicken bowl from Jack in the Box, and I got addicted to him. I have like one a day now. I have these chicken bowls. And I said, "Randy," and I sat him down in the kitchen. I said, "Randy, I said, I know this goes against all of your instincts, but you've got to get back in there and try another chicken bowl because I think you're going to like them." And he says, "No," he goes, "I can't do it." I said, "I'll pay for it. You got to get one because I think you can get into it." And what was your review?
I went back to Jack in the Box after we had that long discussion. Tim was, he was sitting me down like a father talking about something real important. You got to try this chicken bowl to change your life. So I got one, and it was amazing. It was unbelievable. And now I'm going to have them all the time. And I hope they keep, I think they're going to keep them on the menu for a while.
I hope they do
but
too.
But they're very, very good. The one I had that one time, it was just poorly made. But this one was great. Everything's mixed together. The lettuce, the carrots, they put lots of sauce right. on it.
Oh,
and it's only like $3 or $4.
Now, I don't think there's a mistake. I think Jack in the Box is very smart by calling it a bowl. You know, you smoke a bowl at home, you buy a bowl at Jack in the Box.
Yeah, you were like his dealer.
Yes.
You're corrupting it.
First time's free, I'll pay for it.
The reason why I tried to get him into the chicken bowl, it's much healthier than the crap he was eating.
Hey, you know,
there's nothing
healthy?
Fried in there. There's rice, there's grilled chicken, and vegetables. I mean, I think it's a very healthy meal. I think it's the most healthy meal in the United States of America. Look at that. All right, Dr. Reif is with us. We'll continue with your phone calls, 520-9710. He is an addictionologist. Look at that. It's the first time I've ever known that term existed. And 888-520-9710, a board-certified psychiatrist. Psychiatrist. The guy with the pad and the pen. Write your prescription. And Gina Grad, another college graduate from Kansas.
Yeah.
And me, hailing from Birmingham High School out in the valley. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Gina Grad is with us. Dr. Reif is with us. And we're live on 97.1 FM. Here I come again now, baby. Like a dog in here. Tell it to me by the clamor now, baby. I'd like to cut the strings. Now I've been smoking for so long. You know I'm here to stay. Got to you in a stranglehold, baby. You best get out of the way.
97.1 FM Talk. Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.